All the singing has been great today, and make sure you thank Chris and Michelle and Katie. For those of you who don't know, that's two sisters and a daughter singing together. And make sure you tell them now you got to sing again together before next July, right? Got to get them there again. And they were all taught to sing by Harold. Appreciate Harold and his influence on the family in regards to music. Very thankful today, I'm sure. I remember hearing the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 when first sung by the birds. And not the birds outside your window, but the birds with the guitars as they sang in the late 60s. And before I read them in the Bible, I heard them on the radio. And I thought, boy, that's good news, or that's good information. I wonder where that comes from. And someone said, well, it comes from the Bible, you little pagan, you know. That's how I first heard of that. So the Lord, if you don't read His Word, you know, He'll get to you through other ways. Write a pop song and speak to you through that. So this is probably the most well-known part of the book of Ecclesiastes. It's often read at graduation time or a time of transition. Sometimes read at funerals, to offer comfort to family and direction for life as people go on. And this is Solomon's attempt to find the friendship and companionship of God in the midst of a lot of changes that he sees around him. Okay, the different seasons of life and the different times of life. There are 14 pluses mentioned, 14 good things. He says there's a season for these things, and 14 difficult things. 14 pluses, 14 minuses. Someone said that adds up to a great big zero without the Lord, if you don't see the Lord in it. Look at all the positives. Be born and plant, laugh, dance, embrace, love. We say, oh Lord, provide those seasons for us. And then there's the difficult times. Weep, mourn, refrain from embracing, hate, time to give up. You say, oh Lord, you might say, I'm in the middle of those. I have too many of those. Can God make those times a season from His hand also? You know, can we say, Lord, if you're not in this, it doesn't make sense. But if you're in this, there's a time and a purpose for this. With you and I, Lord, in this season of life. And Jesus promises in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, you could be more than conquerors, even in the minus times of life. God will give you a sense of strength and victory in your soul. Lord, win us many victories, even if you have negatives around you or in your own walk with God. So the first truth to take from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that Solomon's struggling with this, you know, written 3,000 years ago, and he's saying, I want to walk with God in the life that I see. The first truth to take is that you and I are on God's calendar for the seasons that He sets up. We're on His, some people use a day timer. This is what I plan to do on a Tuesday morning. God says, well, I have a plan for you. See, we're on God's day timer. He's not on ours. We can't put them in and say, I'll just fit you in here, and that'll be good, and then I'll go on with what I need to do. God says, I have a plan, and I have a season. And you and I are not in control of different things. Not in control of when we're born or when we die. We're not in control of our arrival or our departure. I flew on a plane about a month ago, which I don't like to do. I don't like heights. So when you're 39,000 feet up, time to sleep or pray or do something to escape. And before we took off, the plane had reached its time of departure and we weren't moving. Everything was closed up and the flight attendants did their thing. Still no movement at all. The air started getting hot. The airplane, if you ever look at one of those things, the width is about three pews wide, you know. And there's 240 people jammed in those that width. And the pilot gets on the PA. He says, our point of departure will not let us take off. There's something going on in Pittsburgh, and we don't know what it is, and so we cannot take off. 5 minutes later, he comes on again. I'm trying everything I can to get information of what's happening. We still don't know why we can't take off. Something's going on in Pittsburgh. And I started to think, what's going on? Was there a wreck? Was there, you know, a problem with violence? What? It was a huge storm. It was the night of those huge storms. And a couple days later, that it'd be even worse. But it was apparent to me that the pilot was not in control of our time of departure or arrival. Not at all. He would do his part. He would do his part. But he had to fit in with what was happening. And I can't make the rain fall. And you can't. And you can't determine the time of when the tomatoes grow. You and I are in a process over which we have very little control. And there we are. And sometimes we look at life and we say, I'm in charge of this. You know. And God would say, you're not in charge of anything. And that would be good for us to hear when we turn to God like that. I can't, in my relationship with God, I can't pull a string and make the Lord dance for me. He'd rather have a relationship with me if I'd turn to Him in that way. And without God, you and I are not in control of the pluses and minuses in life. And with God, we can yield those up and down times, and they are really up and really down. We can yield the up and down times to Him and say, Lord, I want You in charge of this. I want You in charge of the time when it's a time to mourn. And I want You to be in charge when it's a time to dance and to embrace, so I embrace properly. And when it's time to refrain from embracing, you know, as the father tells the young person taking out his daughter, keep your hands off my daughter. Time to refrain from embracing. We learn that with God's help. That we want Him to be in control. That's what Solomon wanted. And we want to say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Jesus, apart from You, I can do nothing. Jesus, apart from You, I can face no season. There was a play written by an agnostic with a long name. Called, didn't see the play, just heard of it. It's called Searching for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. And I was thinking about, before I knew the Lord, that was my prayer life. Searching for signs of intelligent life in the universe. Well, it's about a bag lady who's wandering through life. And she doesn't have much. She is a nameless person in the crowd. And she has very little, you know, ability to determine what's going on in her life. And she says this in the play. She says, I wonder about my place in the vast scheme of things. And she stops and she says, I wonder if there is a vast scheme of things. And if Solomon would have heard that, he'd said, Amen, lady. You know, I'm the king of Israel, and that's what I'm thinking also with all these seasons that I'm going through. We think that when the boss comes and says, this is your last day of work. You say, now how does this fit in the vast scheme of things? Or you go through a lonely time, or the doctor comes and says, you have a serious illness. And so you ask the question, just like the bag lady, where does this fit in? Where do I fit in? Life seems crazy. Life doesn't make sense. Or Solomon's looking and he's saying, or is this a part of a rhythm from God? Is this an opportunity to know Him and His friendship and His lordship over this tremendous blessing or very difficult time? Will this cycle change in your favor? Or will you change? God would work on you, to follow Jesus in the midst of the pluses and minuses that change all the time. That's what Solomon was seeking after. And you have to admit, The only thing holding you and I back from following Jesus in the changing seasons of life really is our own sin. Or maybe it's a time to grow and it's just the lack of faith where we can't see the Lord. The Bible says my biggest problem is always my sin. It's true. The Bible tells me so. And how about you? What's the biggest problem you face right now in following the Lord? Would it not be something in your heart that God would like to speak to? Jesus said, if you're a slave to sin, it's because you know you have that struggle, and anybody who sins is a slave to sin. But if the Son sets you free, you can be free and not cave in on yourself in the seasons of life. That's what Solomon wanted with all his responsibilities. He wanted to know God. God had set eternity in Solomon's heart. So where do you fit in? Jesus would say, you fit in with Him. That's where you fit in. You fit in with Him. Could it be that you were born to experience Christ so that you might die, eventually knowing His friendship? And that when you mourned with Him. When you laughed with Him. Could it be that you fit in best like that? When you work with Him. And when you don't work, you wait from His hand to provide that again. The best Bible teacher in seminary I had said that when you read the Bible, make sure you see Christ on every page of Scripture because He is there. Well, He wrote it, so He's going to be there. And he went on to say, and when you live every day, make sure you see Jesus with His help every day. Because He's there. It was a day that He had made. And He asked you if you rejoice and be glad in Him. Rejoice and be glad in it. And the Lord shows Himself to us if we have a heart that says, I'm seeking You in the season I'm experiencing, Lord. I want to know You. That's my primary goal. Kevin preached on that last Sunday. Seek God, His kingdom, His goodness, His righteousness. The Lord shows us Himself in creation. He shows us Himself in His wonderful Son, Jesus. He shows us Himself in His Word. It's like the diary of God. We pick it up and reread it and say, look at all the things that God did and He experienced. And then you read the diary and you say, and I'm in there. You know, this book is about my life. My life with God. And remember the Muslim man who read the New Testament for the first time and said, if there is a God, I really hope He's like this. I really hope He's like Christ. Solomon would say, I've seen these seasons, and they were times. But it's a heavy burden if I don't see God in there with me. And that's what Solomon wanted. Solomon said, God said eternity in his heart. We were made for His presence, His friendship, His leading. And we're out of sync, out of whack, and we're restless until we say, okay, Lord, I'm walking with You. Someone said, how else do we explain homesickness? You ever experience homesickness? When you go somewhere and nothing is familiar. The people aren't familiar, the food isn't familiar. Your pet isn't even there anymore, and there you are. And you say, if I could have froze what I had before and keep it going. That's kind of what seems like we're built for. You see a beautiful sunset, you say, can I just stop the sun from going down so I can just be here and enjoy that with my loved one? Or you have a time with friends or family, and you're laughing. You say, I wish this would just go, keep going. But the time doesn't stop, and it's gone. Sometimes all you're left is with your butterflies. But the Lord comes and He says, wait. From everlasting to everlasting, God is with you. He is Lord. The Lord offers Himself to be His home for you. At home with God. John Wesley says, all things that change proclaim the Lord eternally the same. There was a time to build and a time to tear down. And it taught me about God. It taught me about Him. Like the man who wasn't sure about the faithfulness of a loved one. Faithfulness is a good quality, by the way. Ask for God to work it in your life. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And he wakes up from heart surgery, major heart surgery. I don't know if I've told this group, told the Wednesday night group. And he looks over and he sees his wife. He says, Gertrude, good to see you here. It reminds me of the time when I broke my leg, Gertrude, you were there. When I had surgery, got my tonsils out, I woke up and you were there. And Gertrude, when I lost my job and I was waiting, you know, you were there. And here I'm waking up from heart surgery and here you are. And he says, Gertrude, I'm beginning to think you're bad luck. If we look at the Lord, we look at the Lord and the Lord says to us, well, do you want me to be your friend or not? Do you want me to pass through that season with you? I will. I'll lead you. Come to me if you're weary and overburdened. I will give you rest. Without Christ, you and I are the restless bag lady. We just have a bigger bag. Solomon wakes up. He says, I exist for more than just me. I exist for more than just being king of a country. If being king in your neck of the woods is important to you. You exist for more than just being a king. He said, I exist for more than just being a dad. As important as that is. I exist for more than just being a spouse. Solomon had a lot of spouses. I exist for more than just being a teacher and a preacher, who Solomon was. He said, I exist for God. I exist for the Lord. And the Lord's working out His purpose in everything that comes to pass. And even as a king of a country, I can't add or subtract anything to what God does. But I do want to get in on it. Solomon would say, I like surrendering to the Lord because that's when I start living. That's when I start living. Your testimony could be like Augustine's. He was one of the first prodigal sons in the church, early church. He was born a man of education, man of resources, man of wealth, a man of the godly background. And he said, I don't want any of that. Oh, that's boring. I'm going. And I'm going to live it up the best I know how. And he really indulged himself in sin, selfishness, immorality, just living for himself. And then one day, not by accident, but in the providence of God, he hears a child in a garden singing a children's rhyme song. And the little child is singing, take up and read, take up and read, take up and read. And Solomon thinks, I know the there's a Bible I can pick up and read. Maybe there's something in there for me. He picks up God's Word and reads. And he said, the light came into his soul. And he heard of God's goodness. Again, for him, for his life. He said, he prayed. He said, oh Lord, you have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. Is that part of a testimony of your life? Oh, Lord, you made me for yourself. My heart is restless until I find my rest in you. Jesus would say, come to me. He would say, the Son can set you free of a sin problem. He would give us rest. Be our strength, be our light, so we wouldn't stumble in the dark season you might be in. And he certainly invites us to pray and surrender to Him. Could you make the pew where you're at an altar to God? You offer something to Him in an altar. Say, well, here's a part of my soul that's troubled. I want to say, it's well with my soul in that area. Or Lord, here's my life. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm pretty much living for myself. I don't want to do that anymore. I surrender that to you. Make your life an altar to God. Not just the pew, because when you leave here, you can't take the pew with you. But you could take the Lord with you. And he'll meet you and go with you. He loves. He spoke to Solomon. He could speak to your soul. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Solomon's struggles, the wisdom you gave him. So he looked at all these seasons and he said, would there be a time and a purpose for what he had experienced and he saw others going through? Might we return to you like Solomon did, and he wanted to know eternity in his heart. He wanted to fear God, have great trust in you. And Lord, we know that many times in our life, our soul is homesick without you. We're like the bag lady spiritually. We're saying, where do I fit in with God and with people and with following Christ? And Jesus would say, come to me. Lord, for anyone here who needs a Savior, would you be a Savior to them? Might each one pray, come and save us from our sins. Help us to follow you, Lord, all the way to the gift of heaven. Thank you for that gift that people could know by trusting you, Christ. And then, Lord, many of us need to return to the Lord. Solomon had many things going in his life, but he still needed the Lord to be the big idea in his life, the big passion, the friend who would love at all times. Give us a heart to return to you and know you, surrender to you, Lord, in this season of life. Hear our silent prayers as we speak to you about this.